Bibles, turn with us to Philippians chapter 1, if you will. Philippians chapter 1. We started in the book of Philippians a couple of weeks ago. We'll be continuing there for some time, most likely. Philippians chapter 1, we've made our way down to verse number 14, but I'll begin reading from verse number 12. I'll mention just a few things this morning. Ask the Lord to help us as we look together in the Word of the Lord. Look at verse number 12, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." We'll leave off reading right there and pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for folks who have made their way to be here today. I realize, Lord, that there are thousands of other places these folks could be this morning. And so we do not take it for granted, Lord, that they've made it out to be with us here in this place. And I pray that you would help us today. Lord, I stand in great need of your help. I pray that you would give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that we need. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to say those things that are pleasing to you and things that edify and things that encourage and strengthen. And help us, Lord, to refrain from saying anything that would be contrary to your way or your word or your will. And Lord, it just, maybe it's just me, but I certainly feel a great need, Lord, for your help this hour. And I do pray that you would help us. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, back in verse number 12, Paul begins talking about his bonds in Christ. We've made mention on several occasions that Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he's writing to the church of Philippi from prison in Rome. And so he begins talking about that imprisonment in verse number 12. Now, in spite of his imprisonment, or I should say maybe even because of his imprisonment, the gospel has reached or spread and even reached what many would have considered to be an unreachable place. And in verse number 13, the gospel has reached the palace. We talked about that and even other places. And we believe, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, that that would even be to Caesar's household. And so because of his plea to Caesar and his journey to Rome, he has had a place or an opportunity to preach that he probably would not have had if it were not for his bonds. Now, we're continuing along this path in verse number 14, and he makes the statement, he said, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And so because of Paul's imprisonment, he realized that some of these fervent believers, They heard of Paul, the price that Paul was paying because of his willingness to preach the gospel, and that has caused them to also be emboldened to preach the gospel as well. And the Bible says, I like this, the Bible says, and many of the brethren in the Lord. And so it wasn't just a few. Paul is just one man. And he is in a prison cell, but he's not discouraged. He's not defeated. He hasn't given up. And because of his faithfulness, he has encouraged many others to do something for the Lord. That's a blessing. In fact, you and I, we ought to strive to cause others to have a desire to live for God. And it seems that that is certainly the case with Paul here. When things got difficult, he didn't stop. He didn't give up. And you and I, when things get difficult, when they don't go our way, oftentimes our humanistic nature, our Adamic nature, has a desire to just give up, give in, quit, do something else, or go a different route. But oftentimes it is that very difficult situation that God has placed us in that causes others to be encouraged. And that's certainly the point here. Paul's certainly in a difficult situation, but these bonds has stirred up many others that may not have otherwise been emboldened. They may not otherwise had the desire or the fortitude to continue to carry on the gospel. But because of Paul's confidence, even in this situation, they too have a great desire to be in, preaching the gospel, standing up for Christ. Now, if you remember, it is an interesting thing about this, the Philippians here. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul first visited Philippi, he wound up in jail. And we will not rehash that story other than to say this. When him and Paulus, they were beaten severely and they were placed into prison, they were not whining, they weren't pouting, they weren't crying, as many Christians do as soon as things get difficult. And I'm not kicking anybody, I'm not punching anybody, I'm not looking down on anyone. I'm in that same group way too often. But oftentimes when things get to that place or that point, we have an idea that maybe we're in the wrong place or maybe we're not doing what's right. And it could be that we're doing exactly what was right. And that was the case with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, because they're singing and they're praying while they're in jail. And the Philippian jailer and his family are saved. We know the story there. Here he is some 10 years later, and he's writing to that church at Philippi, and he is again in prison. And yet his imprisonment is causing others to have a greater desire to serve the Lord. And so may the Lord help you and I to fare. Let me just put it this way. May the Lord help you and I to continue strong in spite of adversity. May God give us the strength to do that which is right and pleasing unto Him, even when we don't want to, when we don't feel like it, when we'd rather do something else. May God help us to stay faithful and continue to do what's right. Brother Jordan said it this morning, not because you feel like it, but because that's what the Bible says is the right thing to do. And so Paul here, he is continuing steadfast in the things of God, and others are encouraged to be steadfast as well. So I guess we could, another thing we could say concerning this is we ought to start looking for opportunities to be pleasing to the Lord and to serve the Lord regardless of the situation or the circumstance. It would have been easier for Paul to say, yeah, I've been on a ship all this time. I've been through shipwreck. I've been through this situation. I faced this governor and that governor. I've been in this jailhouse and that jailhouse. And I finally made it here. And I'm still in jail. I'm still in prison. And, I could just, maybe the Lord has forsaken me. Maybe the Lord has given up on me. No, he didn't see it that way. He saw it as an opportunity to do something more for the Lord. It could be that your current trial or your current situation or your current problem, it could be that you're there and you're there right in the center of God's will. Now, I may get to these verses this morning, maybe this afternoon, but if we're suffering for Christ, now sometimes we suffer for stupidity, that don't count. But if we're suffering for Christ, it could very well be that the Lord has us in that exact situation so that we can be a blessing and a help to others. Amen. And so that certainly is the case with the Apostle Paul here in verse 14. Now look at verse 15. I'll read verse 14 again. He said, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And that's a great testimony. Now, verse 15, he said, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. Now, many of the brethren had been strengthened, and they have waxed bold in preaching the gospel, but not all of them were doing it with the right intent. Can I tell you that everybody's not going to be happy because you're doing something for the Lord? And many people might be emboldened to do something because you are, but they may be doing it with the wrong motive. That's the case here. And Paul makes mention of that in verse number 15. And everybody's not going to be happy because you stand up for the Lord and because you preach Jesus. And even if some are encouraged to do so because you're doing it, doesn't mean that they'll do it with the right heart or in the right way. But I like what Paul said, but praise the Lord, they're preaching Christ anyway. And so that's a blessing. So Paul realized that some people used his imprisonment as an opportunity maybe to slander him or ridicule him or try to increase, as he said here in what verse, well, I can't remember which verse it was when I was reading, verse number 16, that they done it supposing to add affliction to his bonds. And so they were doing this thing of a good will. They were doing it with strife and envy, and they were doing it to try to further Paul's affliction. They were not excited about what he was doing, but some did it of good will, and that's a blessing. And so these churches at Rome, which Paul is writing to, they seem to be somewhat divided. And some honestly desiring to see people saved, and some preaching Christ for some other motive, whatever it may have been. It certainly was including to add affliction to Paul's bonds. But whatever the case was, he was excited they were preaching Christ. And I say amen. I'm glad when people preach Christ, aren't you? And that's exactly what he said in verse number 16. He said, "The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." And so there is envy and strife, and those things go together, amen. If you're envious of something or someone, it's certainly going to bring about strife. I'll tell you what else goes together, and that's love and unity. And so Paul said in verse number 17, "But the other of love." And so praise God for love and unity, amen. I don't want to be a part of that envy and strife crowd. I've been caught up in that mess before. And I don't have any desire to be a part of that anymore. I want to be a part of those who love God, love the things of the Lord, love the people of God, and want to be in unity and fellowship one with another. And so we see this strife, this contention that's going on here. And by the way, the Bible says, or not the Bible, Webster's Dictionary, 1828 Dictionary, says that contention is strife, struggle. It is a violent effort to obtain something. I like the way Warren Wiersbe, what he had to say about contention. He said it means to canvass for office, or it means to get people to support you. And that certainly seems to be the case in this situation. Those who were opposed to Paul, you know, maybe he was getting a little too much attention. He's just a prisoner. Why is he receiving so much accolation from the people? Why is he such a fixture? Why does people want to come to see him and to hear him? And so some were doing it of envy and strife. They desired to have. Paul didn't desire the attention for himself. He desired the attention that Christ might be exalted. But all that they saw was a man being exalted, and they desired that position. Well, that still happens a lot in the day that we live in as well. And so, unfortunately, Paul's aim was to glorify Christ. It was to get people to follow him as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ, while others seemed to be interested only in promoting themselves. And as I mentioned, that is still, unfortunately, the kind of behavior that still goes on today. And it's very sad that that's the case, but many times people are more interested in getting folks to follow them or to promote them to some kind of position or some kind of office than they are for Christ being promoted and sinners being saved and the gospel being preached and the world being evangelized for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I really love Paul's attitude here, and it is a very difficult attitude, just to be honest with you. But Paul's attitude about both groups was whether in pretense or in truth, I am excited, I'm pleased, I'm rejoicing, I'm happy that Christ is being preached. Now, I tell you, we could learn a lot from that, that's for sure. But I want to give you some, just a couple of, I found these the other day, some few weeks ago, a few examples, modern day of examples of this same kind of thing happening in the day that we live. So let me just set the story like this. Paul's in prison. His desire is to be pleasing to God and bring honor to the Lord. There was some who was preaching because of that, of goodwill. And there were others, we don't know how many, may have been more so or not as many, but there were certainly others. And by the way, they were brethren. They were preaching of envy and strife. And so Paul said, never mind, doesn't make any difference to me. Whatever reason is, they're preaching Christ, I'm for it. Now, there's a good lesson for us to learn there, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to give you some modern-day examples of that same thing happening. Paul, you know, they were trying to do it to add affliction to him, but at the same time, they were preaching Jesus. Paul was happy about that. Just a few years ago, the young preachers at Grace Baptist Church in Jinghao, China, found out that their pastor, Jimmy Chang, had been arrested. And listen, they did not respond in fear. They were actually emboldened to take a stand for Christ. So what a blessing. Now, Brother Brent Logan, many of you know him, if not the large majority of you know him. He told this story about their initial endeavor when they went to Thessalonica. Some of you remember we supported that project Thessalonica for years, and we still support the ministry there and the missionary there, Brother Fair, now as well. But he told this story about their first going to Thessalonica to reestablish a church, to start a church there in that city. And he said that the Greek Orthodox religion there, they sent out these mass amount of flyers in Thessalonica, and included they were warning the people not to listen to those Baptist preachers. Well, on those flyers, they printed all the Bible verses that they were preaching. And so they meant that to discredit the preachers and to discredit the Baptists who were there to establish the church. But Brent Logan said, well, that's a rather unusual way to get the gospel out. But praise the Lord, he got the gospel out. And so they paid for, printed, and distributed thousands of pieces of literature with all the Bible verses on it that they were preaching. What a blessing. Now, I read this story from Chick Publications, Chick Tracts. And he said that, I remember hearing a man from Chick Tracts Publications say that someone ordered 50,000 of a particular tract exposing the Roman Catholic false doctrine. We have some of those tracts. When Chick investigated further, they found that it was actually a Roman Catholic league that was planning to slander Christian missionaries. And they wanted to do that by including the tract that they was distributing in their literature. And so they had 50,000 of those things printed, and they sent them out to all their parishioners. And so you can't outdo the Lord, amen. And so they meant that for envy and strife, but the Lord allowed the very thing that the missionaries were not able to accomplish. He used that to get that into the homes of all of those Catholic people. And so, whether it be of envy or strife or of goodwill, Paul said, I'm glad Christ is preached, amen. And I am as well. So Paul always looked for the good things, for the silver lining, so to speak, in whatever troubles or opposition that he faced. And whatever the situation was, whether he had to suffer for it or face trial or tribulation or whatever the case was, if Christ was being preached, the Apostle Paul was excited about it. Now I'll tell you, this is certainly, and this is going to ruffle some of his feathers, but I mean, this is just a fact of the matter. There are churches that we couldn't support and won't support because of their doctrinal weakness or maybe even because of their liberal applications. But I'm going to tell you, if they're preaching Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, you better be careful how much you slander them. Paul said, look, they meant it of envy and strife. They're not of our stripe. They are not doing things the way I would do things. They're not carrying out the things the way that I would carry out. They may be a little lax in some of the things that we stand firm on. And maybe they're a little liberal in their application, but they're preaching Christ and people are being saved. I rejoice that people are being saved, amen, and that Christ is being preached. And so, now don't read nothing into that. It's not there. We're not letting down our standard and our desire to be pleasing to God and be Christ-like. I'm just telling you that just because somebody doesn't cross their T's and dot their I's exactly the way we do doesn't mean they're not preaching Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. And it doesn't mean that people aren't being saved either. Some of you are really weak on that. We don't have a corner on the market. Jesus, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible still says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. And so I'm thankful that people are preaching Jesus. Now, look at verse 17. I'll read these together. Now, let me read verse 16 again, and we'll get into verse 17. He said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, the Lord always has a remnant that is for God and is for the proclamation of the gospel, and He's always going to have, amen. Now, in fact, we will hold your place here. We haven't turned any yet this morning. I have a lot of places we will turn if we get there. Look at Acts chapter 9 for just a moment. Now, Paul is in prison, and he is suffering for the cause of Christ. Now, we do know that a lot of this, and I'm not going to get into this today, it's not the point of the sermon, but we do know that much of this Paul has brought on himself because of his unwillingness to obey the Spirit of God that repeatedly told him not to go to Jerusalem in the book of Acts, and he did anyway. But look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. And we know, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, you know Acts chapter 9 is where Saul was his name at that time, is where Saul was converted. And there on Damascus Road. Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. It says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now the Lord is talking to Ananias, trying to get him to go and talk to Paul after he's been struck with blindness. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. And so Paul has been chosen to bear the Lord before the Gentiles and before kings and the children of Israel. And so this is one way that he has been able to get before the kings and also to reach more of the Gentiles. Paul wanted people to be saved, didn't matter where they was at. And he wanted to bear some fruit in Rome as well. We've already read that. And so although Paul didn't always understand what God was doing, all of Paul's arrest and imprisonments was going to get him before the king so he could share the gospel with them. Now, look at verse number 18. He said, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Now, he says, whether in pretense. Now, this suggests something that is hypocritical or not correct. It comes from the word pretend. And so they were pretending to be one thing while they were actually something else. There's a lot of that goes on. So he says, whether in pretense or in truth. Now, I've already mentioned this several times. These verses are connected. They go together. And so both of these ways of preaching that are mentioned here, they're speaking of their motives of preaching, not their content of preaching. That's important. They were preaching Christ. We already read that. And so one was doing it with the right motive. One was doing it with the wrong motive. But Christ was being preached. It's the content of the message that matters. Oftentimes, there are... I'll just say this. I'll use myself for example. Many of you know my testimony. I was saved very early in life. I made some very poor decisions when I became a teenager and got old enough to make my own choices and absolutely ruined my life for quite a while. Now, it is amazing to me as I look back now, I would be sitting on my couch and I would be scrolling through the TV channels and a preacher would come on that I would not listen to today. And the Lord would use that man to speak to my heart. On several occasions, my wife would come through the house and she'd say, "Why are you listening to that?" I don't know. Because I am out of God's will. I am a miserable mess. And the Lord is doing everything that He can to find this one lost sheep. And regardless of what that man's motive was, God was using the word that he was speaking to speak to my heart. And so, whether in pretense or in truth that the word is preached, the power is not in the man, it's in the word. And the power is not in the motive, the power is in the word. And so, the Bible says here, Paul says they're preaching Christ. Now, their motive may not be right, but Christ is being preached, so I'm going to rejoice. Now, you know what I have to say about those men? Now that I have learned from the Bible, I would not recommend those preachers to you. I would not share a message from those preachers with you to listen to. I would not vouch for those men's character and things that I've learned about them from the past. But I'm going to tell you, the power is in this word. And God used that word to speak to my heart. And so I praise the Lord. I can stand firm and rejoice with the Apostle Paul as he's saying these words because they're personal in my life. And so I am thankful for anyone who will preach Christ. Now, I said that. I want you to understand the importance of the fact it was the message and not the motive. It wasn't that they was preaching some other means of salvation or that they were preaching some other means to be saved. They were preaching Christ. Amen. Now, let me come to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. The important thing to note here is that Paul is not rejoicing over false preaching. And he's not rejoicing over false teaching. He would never do that. In fact, look what he said in the book of Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter number 1. Hold on just a second. I think I wrote down the wrong reference. Galatians chapter 1. No, look at verse 16. Verse number 6. That's what we got. Look at verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. Paul said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Notice what he said. "Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And so Paul is not, he's not glad that these guys are preaching another gospel. He said, "Though me or an angel or any other man do that, let them be accursed." So it is clear that they were preaching Christ. They were preaching the right message, but they had the wrong motive. Now, let's look at that again. Come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the reason, and this will help you. This will help me. The reason Paul didn't get all bent out of shape about this is that he knows that not only are his motives, but everyone else's motives, they're all going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, my motives are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And so are yours. And so why should we be burdening ourselves and getting ourselves in situations and saying things that get us in trouble with God? He's going to sort it all out. Look what he said. Look what Paul knew that. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. He said, For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as fire. And so we understand what's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. And so Paul didn't feel like this was his problem to stop those who were preaching just because they wanted to add affliction to his bonds. Instead, he rejoiced that they were preaching Christ. Amen. That'll help you somewhere down the road if you'll take heed to that. Not one amen. You know why? Well, that's cool. Listen, this is certainly and definitely something that's hard to have a good attitude about. And even something that many are critical about. But we got to be careful about those who are preaching Christ, even though they're not doing it like we would. And I'm afraid that we get ourselves in trouble with the Lord a lot of times. Because listen, I'm not advocating changing anything at all whatsoever. I'm simply telling you that if they're saved, they're as much God's child as you are. And though we, with the help of the Lord, are going to keep that out of our pulpit and out of our churches and hopefully out of our lives, you better be careful how much you run them down. Amen. Now, even those who sought to do Paul harm were brethren. I don't mean to burst your bubble here. Many of you know it already. The Lord Jesus Christ got the majority of his persecution and trouble from the religious crowd. And I promise you that I have way more trouble with the religious crowd and people who are saved than I do with the world. I'm not around the world. I don't associate with the world. I don't fellowship with the world. I don't hang out with the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not a part of the world. And so, largely, they don't give me a whole lot of trouble. Most people who do are people who are brothers and sisters in Christ. It'll do us a whole lot of good to realize that the Lord's going to sort it all out one of these days. He'll take care of it. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. And so Paul had just came to the place that, you know, as long as someone is preaching the plan of salvation and others is getting saved, whatever else he's doing wrong, the Lord will straighten that out at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm just glad he's preaching Jesus. Amen. And so look, let me come to Mark chapter. Some of you are still sideways about that. But I want to help you. Listen right here. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to help you. Jesus Christ did the same thing. Now, that's got your attention. Come to Mark chapter 9. I'll show you. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 38. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 38. The Bible says, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils." Now don't miss this. "In thy name." And then John said, "And he followed us not." And he followed not us. "And we forbade him because he followed not us." Now look, this is important. The disciples, John didn't forbid him to cast out devils because he was doing it in Jesus' name. He forbid him to cast out devils because he wouldn't follow him. I just read it. I'll read it to you again. John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us." Now, look, Jesus is going to answer that in the very next verse. "But Jesus said..." How about that? You know what the first three words are? "Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is," look at this, "not against us is on our part." Listen. They don't have to follow me. They don't have to follow you. And they don't have to follow your favorite preacher. They have to follow Jesus and do it in His name. Amen. I like that, don't you? Our name is worthless and powerless. But there is power in His name. And Jesus said, as long as they're doing it in my name, they're on my side. I like it. Praise the Lord. Now, come back to verse 18. We'll wrap this up here in just a minute. Look at this. Let's take one more look at this verse. Come back to verse 18. Philippians chapter 1. "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So, I therein. Obviously, he is speaking of the fact that Christ is being preached. He said, I do rejoice. That's present rejoicing. I'm rejoicing right now because Christ is being preached. Now, look what he said next. And will rejoice. That's future. There is very few things in this life that can bring both present and future joy. But I'll tell you what can. Preaching Jesus. It brings joy now, and it'll bring joy in the future. And so Paul said, hey, I'm just glad they're preaching Jesus. Amen. What a blessing. Now, can we do one more verse? Thank you. Look at verse number 19. Now Paul, he's mentioned all this preaching, envy, strife, preaching the goodwill. If you're preaching Christ, I'm for them. I just want Christ to be preached. Now, he learned something. He said, for I know, look at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, I know this seems very elementary, but we have to mention this because some people think that every time they see the word salvation or saved in the Bible, it is speaking of the salvation of the soul, the conversion of man. No, the word is used numerous times. Paul's already saved. He's the one right. He said, this turned to my salvation. Obviously, he's not talking about the salvation of his soul. He's the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ who is writing the Scripture. And so there are, in essence, though, there could be more. We can break them down into three different applications for the word salvation in the Bible. And the first thing that we would think about is in an eternal sense, being born again. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is obviously speaking of the salvation of the soul, eternal salvation. Now, a second use of the word in the Bible, and that's the way it's being used here, is in the sense of being saved from having a wasted or a fruitless life. And so, let me turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're almost done, I promise. We'll quit after this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I have 12 pages of notes on this verse. No, I'm kidding. Just sit if you're still with me. It's quiet in here this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I don't mind it being quiet as long as you're not sleeping. And the fact that I don't hear snoring may indicate that you are awake somewhat. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 16. Now, again, we're talking about the word salvation being used in a sense of being saved from a wasted or fruitless life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible says, take heed unto yourselves and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both, and here's the word, save thyself and them that fear thee. And so if I will take heed to the Word of God, and if I will apply the Word of God to my life, I will not be a fruitless Christian. And if I apply that Word, I take heed to that Word, I apply that Word to my life, if I practice what the Bible teaches and proclaim that truth to others, it could also encourage them or cause them to not have a fruitless life either. And so, listen, we need to hear the Word and heed the Word. We need the Bible. James said to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. I'm afraid so many times we're so guilty of just being hearers. But if we'll be doers of the Word, it'll save us from having a wasted and fruitless life. And it could be beneficial in causing someone else. Listen, I mentioned that in application. We'll talk about that in our own life. The Apostle Paul, he's in jail. Others are emboldened to preach Christ because of him. Who is to tell what somebody else would do if you would do what's right? This just came to my mind. I don't know the men. I've heard the stories before. But somebody was instrumental in Billy Sunday being saved. Somebody was instrumental in Oliver Green being saved, J. Harold Smith being saved, Lester Rowell being saved. They had no idea when they won those men to Christ that they were going to be such gigantic men of God and preachers of the gospel, and thousands of people are going to be saved. But somebody that we don't even know was instrumental in leading them to Christ. So, man, just you change your life. And there's no telling whose life will change because of you. Amen. And so here's the third sense of salvation. You're in 1 Timothy, look at chapter 2. Now, this salvation, this third application or use of the word could be in a sense of being rescued from falling into Satan's deceptions or temptations. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 15. The Bible says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and wholeness and so, with sobriety. So this is having your physical life spared. And so the salvation in which Paul was referring to or spoke of in our text verse back in the book of Philippians was not a new birth, but it was the deliverance from the present physical trials. And he was wanting to be spared from them. And he knew that the key to that was the prayer of God's people. And so he's asking the people at Philippi to pray for him. He said that in verse number 19, that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot more things there. And I truly, if I take time to mention those, it will be a long while long. But I tell you this, Paul did know the power of prayer. And he believed that God could do great things when God's people prayed. And I'll tell you, the Lord can still do great things when God's people pray. And this, the thing that was going to allow this to happen was going to be the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad God's able, amen, to help us and deliver us regardless of our situation and circumstance. But may the Lord help us to have the same kind of attitude that the Apostle Paul has. Now, just a couple. I'm done. Look. I'll make you feel better. Look, Paul's attitude. He's in a horrible place, and I can take time if you want me to explain it to you. I'll show you from the Bible. Part of it is his problem. Part of it is his fault. All through the book of Acts, he was continually warned by the Holy Ghost not to go to Jerusalem. You know what he did? He went to Jerusalem, and he wound up in prison. And he's in a bad place, but he's not crying, and he's not whining, and he's not bellyaching. You know what I hear from Christians today when they get in a place that's tight? Not near as bad as the Apostle Paul's. They whine and bellyache and complain and gripe. But he's not. And he's also not upset because everybody's not following in his footsteps. But they're preaching Christ. I like that, amen. So may the Lord help us to develop the kind of attitude that the Apostle Paul had. A positive attitude concerning the things of the Lord and a desire to see people saved. And not get so caught up in all these little cliques and all that kind of mess that just call, let me tell you what they call, envy and strife. I separate myself from those people. Amen. Get Miss Keisha to come to the piano. Take just a moment. So I was preaching today, if the Lord encouraged you, spoke to your heart about something. Maybe you'd like to come today, pray. Maybe there's